everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Guys, does our identity matter? Does hope matter? Well, there's a great passage in the book of 1 John that tells us that both are of supreme importance as far as our human experience is concerned. In chapter 3, verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. The fact that we have a new identity is evidence of God's great love. I mean, he's just poured it on us, just lavished it on it in thickness like you wouldn't imagine. But it means something to us. It doesn't leave us where we once were. It changes us. It transforms us. We become new creatures in Christ, and so different from what we were that we have a brand new identity. We came into this world as sinners, but now through the grace of God, through this salvation that we've experienced through faith in him, we've become brand new. We've become children of God. And he goes on to say, and so we are. That's who we are in this world today.
We're not just called.
No,
we actually are.
We actually are children of God. And it's not because of the activities that we do, this new phrase out there, Easter worshipers, as becoming a moniker of those who want to call Christians something other than what we are. We are children of God.
Yes.
Now, that means that not all people are children of God. Only those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Only those who have been born into the family of God. Only those who have the Spirit of God living in them that cries out, Abba, Father. So those are the children of God. Now, God's desire is for all people to be born again into the family of God. He wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. So when people come to repentance, they have a change of mind, a change of heart. They're born again into the family of God, and they're given a brand new identity, children of God. Now, he goes on to say, beloved, we are God's children now, right now, not in the future, right now. That's who we are. That's our identity. And what we will be has not yet appeared. Now, there's a great hope for us in the future.
Yes.
What that's going to look like, what that's going to be for us, we don't quite know, but we know it's going to be much better than what we're experiencing here and now, because we're going to be with the Lord forever. And he goes on to say, but we know that when he appears, that's Jesus, we shall be like him. Now, just stop and get on your knees and say thank you. I mean, that is a wow scripture.
Yeah.
I mean, that just absolutely blows the mind. So when he appears, you're going to be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So the same body that he got, we're going to get one of those resurrected bodies as well. We're going to be totally rid of all sin and flesh and all of those sort of things. We're just going to be perfect in every way, spirit, soul, and body. And so with that, everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So knowing this great hope that we have, knowing that when he appears, we're going to be like him, is going to change us right now. So we are children of God, and because we know we're going to be like him, that's going to begin to align our minds and our attitudes and our behaviors with who we really are. Mm-hmm. So we are children of God, and as we really start to take a look at that great hope we have, then we're going to live out who we are here and now. And that's the great process that we're in as believers.
Yeah.
So identity matters, hope matters, in very practical terms. So who are you right now? If you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. That is your identity. Mm-hmm. And because you're a child of God, you live in this bubble of hope that can never burst.
Correct.
It is always there. Why? Because there's going to be a point in time when Jesus Christ appears, and when he does, you are going to be like him, because you will see him as he is, and that hope transforms. It's a powerful passage, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it is. And there's no aspect, even the least bit of an aspect of you'd better behave. This is the privilege of knowing Jesus, of being changed by him from the inside out. And the fact that he would even attempt to do that with people like us, it boggles the mind.
It really does. It does.
But it happens. And we've seen it happen in our own lives, in the lives of friends and family. This is truth right here. Good news.
Yeah. So who are you? You're a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of hope do you have? Unbelievable. You're going to be like Jesus. And John goes on to say, you're already like him in this world.
Yeah.
So you're living by faith just as he walked in dependence upon his Father. You're doing the same thing now. You're walking in dependence upon Jesus Christ. You're reflecting the very character of Jesus out there into the world, just as Jesus reflected the character of his Father out there
yes.
in the world. So we are like him in the world. When we see him, we're going to be like him. Identity matters. Hope matters. These two are powerful forces in the life of a believer.
Indeed.
Well, this is basic gospel, and all of this is true because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And that's why we call this program Basic Gospel. We're here to tell that story as often as we can and to as many people as we can. And we certainly thank those who join with us to help deliver this good news through the airwaves mm-hmm. and through all of the various channels that we deliver this radio broadcast, and through the resources and conferences and all the things that God does through this outreach. So we say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all of those who stand with us month in and month out as Basic Gospel Ministry partners. Every dollar you give, you help expand the borders of Basic Gospel Nation, reaching more and more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. We have a fantastic resource for you this month. It's called Proof, the Resurrection.
Yeah.
And if you want to know the impact of the resurrection in your life, if you want to know the evidence, the underpinnings of the resurrection, this is a resource for you. It's something that you can listen to, solidify your faith, really get anchored in the fact that Jesus did come back from the dead, that he is alive today, that he's alive in you, and then pass this on to others. They're going to have questions about the resurrection. If they are contemplating Christianity, if they've had conversations about Christianity, the resurrection has come up at some mm-hmm. point, and they've said, how can you Christians believe that? How do you know it's true? How do you know that Jesus came out of that grave? This is a great resource that you can put into their hands. It's our gift to you as a way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. All the information on how you can contribute and become a part of the Basic Gospel financial team is on our website at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Well, you are listening to Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. I'm here with Richard Pfeiffer today. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. If you have a question about identity, about self-image, about self-worth, this is a great time to call, a perfect edition of Basic Gospel to ask your question. Again, the number 844-322-2742. If you have questions about the evidence of the resurrection, this is a perfect time to ask that as well. Again, the number 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Richard?
Yeah, we got this question in the other day, and it very closely ties to what we were just talking about, although it's future and not necessarily happy. A guy named Mark, who listens online, said, if Jesus died for all sins, past, present, and future, why does the book of Revelation mention the wrath of God several times?
Well, there's a wrath of God that is coming. It's the final judgment. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes into this world under the wrath of God.
Yes.
We stand condemned, all of us. We're sinners. And so that wrath of God is upon us. Well, what is that? Well, it's death. It's spiritual death. That is the final judgment, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But we come into this world dead spiritually. And so the gospel offers us life. And so when we receive Christ, we cross over from death to life. And so we're going to be with the Lord forever. So when we stand before the Lord, it's life. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they will never be blotted out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good news. Now, there are those who reject that offer of life, and they would rather try to make it on their own. So there's no way they're going to make it on their own. So
right.
They're going to, at the end, hold their fist up to God in a total rebellion. And they're going to receive their judgment, that wrath. And that wrath is eternal death. So that's the separation that they will experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's the judgment that they will experience. Now, here's the good news for us. Romans 5, verses 8 through 10. And this is a passage that everybody should underline, put
yeah.
stars around, highlight, whatever you like to do in your Bible. But it's chapter 5, and it says this, But God shows his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we are protected by Jesus Christ. Our lives are now hidden in him. So we are protected from this wrath of God. Why? Because we're fully alive in Christ, and he is fully alive in us. Now, those who have never come to Christ, they stand condemned right now.
Yes.
And that final, if they die still under that condemnation,
they will remain condemned.
They're going to remain condemned. So
yeah.
That's kind of the picture we see in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
I know, Richard, that's a sweet spot for you as far as that book is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts on...
Oh, well, this is one of those things where so often Christians or people who proclaim Christianity get it wrong. Forgiveness of all sins, past, present, and future, is not salvation. It's an absolutely necessary step in salvation, but it is not sufficient on its own to save us. That's where the life of Jesus comes in.
Right.
That's where the resurrection of Jesus comes in. If we didn't have the resurrection, there would be no forgiveness. And so forgiveness is received in him. Therefore, someone who is judged and experiences the wrath of God simply has not received Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so the picture is kind of the final judgment of God upon the nation of Egypt, the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we see? We see the Israelites putting blood on the doorpost and the lintel
mm-hmm.
of their homes, and the Egyptians not. And so the death angel came through, and those who had the blood were protected. They were saved from the wrath that came.
Yes.
But those who did not have the blood were not saved from the wrath. You and I, because we have been saved by Jesus Christ, because we are in him, we're not in Adam, we're in Christ, we are saved from the wrath to come. And that is good news.
Sure.
And
is.
Talk about security and assurance of salvation. That is assurance of salvation.
Yeah. One more little thing. Notice how easy it was on that first Passover to be saved.
Yes.
It's just as easy now. In fact, it's easier now because Jesus is real. He came. He fulfilled everything. All you have to do is say yes to him.
That's right.
It's that easy.
That's right. And he transfers you
yes.
out of darkness into light. He crosses you over from death to life. He places you into himself. And it's all by grace through faith
yeah.
in Christ.
Yeah. Well, we got this call that came in. We'll listen to that.
Yes, gentlemen. Does Judaism still practice animal sacrifices? Like, obviously, they always did in the Old Testament. And I'm not sure if I've heard of any of them who actually still practice the animal sacrifices, which was obviously a central part of Judaism. So please comment on that. Thank you.
Well, that's a great
yeah,
question. And the answer is no. Formal Judaism does not practice animal sacrifices. And the reason that they don't is because in 70 AD, the temple was torn down, total destruction by the Roman army. And so their place of sacrifice was destroyed. And also the Levites were dispersed.
Yes.
And so the priesthood was gone. Well, and the reason is because all of that was replaced by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus is the high priest, and he made a sacrifice that was one sacrifice for all time.
Yes.
So that sacrifice of Jesus looked back, and it looked forward. And so there was no further need for a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the destruction of the temple was just an exclamation point
yes.
by God saying, there's no more sacrifices. Jesus did it all. So you're either going to believe in the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, or you're going to live with the fearful expectation of judgment because you know these animal sacrifices can't take away sin. They can't do what the sacrifice of Jesus did. So you're either going to receive him, you're going to rest in his finished work, or you've got nothing. I mean, that's as simple as you could put
it,
isn't it?
It's kind of sad, and I don't mean to criticize because I know these people are completely sincere, but Orthodox Judaism today does not offer animal sacrifices. The reason they don't is because the temple's not there. There's no altar. There's no
yes.
priest. There's no way to offer a sacrifice. And in their sincerity, they are absolutely right. Under the Mosaic covenant, you would not be able to offer a sacrifice because the place designated by God for them does no longer exist. Well, here's the sad part of that. As sincere as that belief is, Jesus is standing here saying, I'm here.
Yes.
Won't you accept me? And you know, in my heart of hearts, I've got to believe that as things work their way out through the rest of time and however it does work out, Jesus is going to get through to people who are sincere but misguided so that they realize that he is the choice. It's not an animal that you need to have a choice over. It's Jesus himself, and it will be a very clear choice, which is what he's been offering us
since he was here. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Since his death, burial, and resurrection, the choice has always been life in Jesus or death elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. So we had a question, follow-up question from one of our YouTube watchers. Said, what about the Jews who don't believe in Jesus as Messiah? Well, Paul's whole argument in the book of Romans is an argument that puts both Jew and Gentile in the same spiritual condition.
Yes.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's a statement that is a statement that includes both Jew and Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only one way out of that state, and that's to be freely justified by God's grace. So Jew needs to be justified by God's grace to be made right. And that's through faith in Jesus. That's through faith in the once-for-all sacrifice that he made. And the Gentile needs to be justified in exactly the same way. And when that happens, then we stand together as one in the body of Christ. So we have to look at it in terms of death to life.
Mm-hmm.
All of humanity was plunged into death when Adam and Eve sinned.
Yes.
So their death, we died in Adam. Every single person died in Adam. And so we either remain dead in Adam or we come alive in Jesus.
Yes.
That's the choices. And so anybody who rejects Jesus, they're going to remain dead in Adam,
mm-hmm.
and that will be their eternal condition.
Yes.
So that's why the gospel is so important. That's why we read time and time and time again in the New Testament, and especially when we read words that came out of the mouth of Jesus, he came that we might have life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. So we come to him for life. Mm-hmm. We died in Adam. All of humanity died in Adam. And when we come to faith in Jesus, we're made alive in him.
Yeah, I wrestled with this issue for a long time when I was young, because I honestly believed that somehow I was born neutral, and it was up to me to decide whose side I wanted to be on. And I kept, you know, I thought I was walking on the top rail of a fence. And it was sad because I always fell on the wrong side of the fence. If I was going to fall someplace, why not fall onto the correct side of the fence? And it was only after this became clear to me that I was born in Adam. I was not born neutral. I
Yes.
was born spiritually dead. I needed life. I was by nature a sinner. Only when that became clear to me did what Jesus offer become clear to me. And then it was, oh, there's no fence here. He's been opening doors all the time.
Right.
Just walk through the door with him and experience life.
Yeah, and that's what he said. I'm the gate.
Yeah.
Go walk through.
I kind of skipped that verse.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's very clear. And you can just look out there in the world and you ask yourself, is the world neutral? Based on the headlines, based on what you see, based on a shooting at a synagogue, a shooting at a mosque, a shooting, you know, the bombings in Sri Lanka. Is that neutral?
No.
No, that's not neutral. That's people kind of being dead spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
It's manifesting that deadness, that separation that they experience between them and God. Well, Jesus is the one that bridges that gap. Jesus is the one that draws us near unto God the Father. And once we've been born again, then we're near forever.
Yes.
I mean, he's in our presence. He's in us. We're in his presence forever. You can't get much closer than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's beautiful. A final email question here from David. I have heard that Jesus went down to hell or Hades between his death and resurrection. The people who have said this use several scriptural references, but Acts 2, 27 through 31 seems to contradict that. What are your thoughts?
Well, there's several passages. First Peter, I think chapter 3 maybe, Ephesians chapter 4. Mm-hmm. And if there's any descending down into Hades, it would be to pronounce to the saints of old that the work had been finished, and to take them to where he was, to paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. So paradise was once in the garden. That changed when sin entered in, and so it became the upper regions of Hades for those who believed. Jesus would have gone there and said, hey, guys, it's finished. All that you've been longing for, all that you've been waiting on, that you look forward to and hope has come now. And
yes.
So I'm going to take you with me, and you're going to be with me forever.
It's a description of victory, not
yes,
of defeat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is this teaching that Jesus had to go to hell and beat Satan in his own territory. There is no scriptural support for that. So if you ever hear that teaching, I would just say get up and leave.
Yeah,
or turn and run.
Yeah.
Because that is not a true teaching. There's nothing in the Bible about that whatsoever. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition. We'll be back tomorrow and answer more questions and talk about more key issues that are relevant to your life, things that matter, things that will make a difference to you in every area of your life. So tune in tomorrow for another edition. As we've talked about time and time again, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio.
We rely.
That's what I was looking for. Rely on contributions from people just like you to help us get this good news out. So if you would like to be a part of the Basic Gospel financial team, we encourage you to go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. And just click on the donate link and follow all the instructions there and let us know that you want to join us. We would glad to co-labor in this good news with you. Well, this is Bob Christopher. We'll see you again tomorrow for Basic Gospel.